This is CliffCentral.com. Your pants and those sore hands.
Niall Horan. What is that? How do you say it? Niall Horan?
Niall.
That's such a stupid name.
Hi, guys.
Niall.
Right. I'm with my belly on this one.
Well, it's Niall like Neil, Horan. But it's kind of Egyptian, but spelled differently.
Yeah, well, stop it.
Ridiculous. I think it's unique, Niall.
He's one of the...
It's Irish.
He's one of the One Direction kids who went on his own.
Yeah.
There's lots of funny Irish names, though.
Yes.
Sigourney.
Podraig.
Podraig.
Podraig has got to be one of the... Because it's meant to be Patrick, right?
Podraig.
Yeah.
How do you Patrick, spell that?
Podraig. P-O-D-R-A-I-G.
Oh, that's a stupid
but,
name.
But you know why? Because they can't say Patrick. Say Patrick. Podraig. Podraig. Podraig.
Oh, no.
Well, when you're drunk most of the time, Gareth, a lot of these things happen.
Right, yeah, right.
Niall! All right, let's get into some news this morning. It is a Monday, bright and early, 10 past 7. What do we got, Mubs? What's happening? What do we need to know?
Well, the five men who are linked to a cannibal and Mooty saga in Escort are going to be appearing in court today. Escort is expected to come to a complete standstill.
How many people?
Five.
How many?
There are five. There are five, only five. There are five. Five.
Yeah.
That's it.
So thousands of people are expected to descend on the small KZN Midlands town for the court appearance of the five men.
Good, I'm pleased, because I was worried this wasn't getting enough attention.
They are charged with murder, attempted murder, and for being in possession of human body parts.
Mm.
But now here's the twist.
Mm-hmm.
Police say that they are expecting to make more arrests. Oh, Gareth.
Guys.
This whole community.
Yeah. So you'll remember that last week we all learned about what was happening in Escort when one of the five arrested walked into the police station and he said, I am tired of eating humans. I'm exhausted of it.
Yes.
He had with him a part of a leg and an arm. And he was then arrested. And then
did
very
you just smash those down on the counter?
You know, I don't have the details down to that degree. I don't know if he walked in and just smashed it down on the counter.
Hey, everybody.
But
I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
And you know, like, do you season the leg or do you just eat it raw or like, you know?
I've heard that you need to put a bit of curry spice on it for it to really work.
Yeah. Okay.
Duca spice apparently is the real
That's
thing.
The one. Yeah.
If you throw up, I'm going to die.
Apparently human really tastes good with a bit of that and some turmeric.
All right. So there is a Professor Gerard Labuskagne.
Yeah.
He is a former section head and brigadier of the SAPS's Specialized Investigative Psychology Section.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, you know, historically, cannibalism was prevalent all over the world. He added that we must be cautious and not accept any information about cannibalism as facts at the moment.
Mm.
For example, he says a man rocking up at a police station saying that he has been eating human flesh and implicating others. If that person is mentally sick, he might just point to anyone. So Professor Labuskagne is saying that, you know, if indeed there are a lot more people in this community going around and eating people, then he says that there's a lot to be concerned about in terms of these people's mental state. He said extreme famine could also be a role player here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, Mabs, would it be irresponsible of me to write the blurb for part two saying the escort cannibals are in court?
No.
Have I jumped a bit here?
No, they are cannibals. The guy admitted it. He said, I'm tired of eating this meat and smashed that leg down on the counter.
Yeah, but Labuskagne here is saying, let's just chill out, let's see what the real problem is.
Then don't bring extreme famine. They aren't in a famine.
Amanda, look, while we're busy with the news, why don't you bring Josh in here? He's one of our listeners from Israel, and he's in South Africa. He's hanging out with us this morning, and I thought we could have him join in on the news.
Now, a resident of Escort has said that a closer look at the police dockets will actually reveal that for at least 5 years now, people have been disappearing without a trace in Escort.
How many years?
Five.
There are five. There are five, only five.
That's it. That's
there are five.
Yeah.
Five.
Okay. All right. Calm down.
Get so excited when that.
And by the way,
comes
you know, Aus Jane doesn't trust me anymore.
Why?
Because I'm from KZN.
Oh, she thinks you're going to eat
so
her.
So she now thinks anyone from KZN just
She's pretty, but she's insane.
Yeah, but thankfully, thankfully, being 47 kilograms rules you out for being a cannibal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, there's that whole vegetarian thing.
Vegetarian.
See, he doesn't even eat the meat we're allowed to eat, let alone meat that we're not. Hey, Josh, nice to meet you, dude.
How's it, Gareth?
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's nice of you to come and join in on the news.
Thank you.
All right. You don't interrupt my buddy. That's the rule. Okay? Other than that, you're allowed to say whatever you want. Okay, Mubs, over to you.
All right. So it would seem that there was a bit of a scuffle that happened at a bar in Seapoint. A Cape Town attorney says that he and his friends were arrested for public drunkenness shortly after they complained about the old South African flag, which is apparently on display at this local bar.
Oh.
So the trouble started when Richard Julies and his friends asked the barman to explain why the flag was on display, because they found it offensive. Police were called in to defuse the situation, which by at that point had escalated into a heated argument. Julie says that when he and his friends left the bar.
Seriously.
No, I had no idea that it was this bad. It really went down.
Sure. Yeah.
The very same police officers arrested three of them for being drunk in public. Now,
it's all over the old South African flag. I thought, who cares that much about the old South African flag? That they'd get into a fight. I wouldn't.
This Cape Town attorney and his friends came.
Wow, okay.
Now, he said the fact that in 2017 in Cape Town, a pub would put this up in such a cosmopolitan city, given our history, he said all we did was express a legitimate outrage, and that was met by an arrest.
Wow.
What's a legitimate outrage? Is that shouting, or do you have to punch someone?
Well, I don't know if any punches were thrown, but you know, they did say that it ended in a heated argument, and remember, it's in a local bar, so there's alcohol involved, which means that nobody's mind works properly in that state.
Cuck, they were just Arsenal fans, they're having a bad day.
Yeah,
they took it out on some flag.
And by the way, I mean, I know people who have the old South African flag don't support the old South African government, but they've got it because it's a piece of historical memorabilia. I mean, I also know people who own World War II memorabilia from the losing side. It's not particularly appetizing stuff. I mean, it's not the kind of thing that you proudly display, but they might collect it for historical reasons. How many other flags are up in this pub? Maybe it's just one of the many flags.
I have no idea.
I mean, I would think someone was a bit weird if they had it up in a public space. I would think that was odd. Mm. It's probably quite tasteless.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what Richard and his friends were trying to say. Is they they asked, why do you have the flag up?
Yeah, so they got into a fight
and
over
then
this?
It resulted in the heated argument.
Well, look, I mean, maybe they've got a point. If it's the only flag in the place and it's very well lit and it's beautifully framed and like positioned at the back to everyone can see it.
But girl, no bueno. If I see that, I will turn around. Like,
please stop calling Ben a girl.
No, no.
Please.
I just don't want to tempt that.
Seriously, you are just a mess.
No, I don't want to tempt that at all. I would walk away.
Josh, I'm going to ask you again to stop interrupting my ballet, please. All right? Please.
So rude.
We've got Josh. You wouldn't know it, but we've got Josh in our studio this morning. He's a regular listener of ours from Israel. Yeah, what are you in South Africa for?
I came for a friend's wedding last night, and my parents live in Cape Town, so I'm flying.
How often do you see them?
I try and make it for a few weeks once a year, every year October.
Yeah.
Every year
All right,
August,
that's enough about you, Josh. Let's get back to the news. Jesus.
All right.
just owning the studio this morning.
Public Enterprises Minister Lynn Brown last week apparently quashed yet another bid by Eskom's board to pay their former CEO, Brian Molefe, a multi-million rand golden handshake.
What is with these people keeping this Brian Molefe enrichment scheme going? What is this?
There is so much that we obviously do not know.
What is going on there?
Because none of this makes sense to any one of us. But there is obviously something going on here that we just don't know. So the request to pay Molefe a settlement of 11.2 million rand was made to Lynn Brown by...
You should have to pay us 11 million rand.
...by the interim board chairman, Zethembe Khoza. It came just months after the minister rejected an initial bid to pay Molefe a 30 million rand early retirement package.
Yes,
this was back in April already. So Khoza's letter to the minister, which was seen by a couple of publications, was dated on June the 28th, just 2 weeks after Ben Ngubane resigned as Eskom chairman. In it, Khoza said that Molefe was paid 8.3 million rand in remuneration last year.
Enough! Stop giving this guy money. He's done us no good.
And then last week, Eskom were trying to give him another 11.2 million.
Stop it. Ridiculous.
What does...
What does Brian Molefe have that they keep wanting to give him money?
Mm-hmm.
What does he have that they keep wanting to enrich this dude? And 11 million?
11.2 million.
Give him 5,000 rand in petrol money and let him be on his way.
And last year it was 8.3 million rand that he was given.
Wow.
And what does Brian Molefe... He's the former CEO. Why are you still trying to give him money? For what?
Yeah.
Is he back at Eskom?
And why give him money that's not even yours? It's our money. Everybody is paying provisional tax right now. Think about that. Okay? Think about that for a second. How does that make you feel?
Dreadful.
Think about how your hard-earned cash, sometimes even up to half of it, goes to paying an asshole like Brian Molefe. Don't pay your tax this month. There we go. You heard it from me. Hold it back. Put it in a trust account and release it once government have got their act together. Where's Outer when you need them? I'm a member of that Outer. You know I joined them?
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I joined.
What? So what do you...
That's the people who are opposing tax abuse.
Yeah, but I mean, do you guys get a newsletter every week?
I get a newsletter every week. And if they end up taking me to court for not paying my e-tolls, they'll defend me.
Oh.
Yeah, all members fall under that.
What does it cost, Gareth?
But you can choose. There are different payment options. You can sign up for like a year. You can sign up for a couple of months. You can sign up for 9 years if you want to.
And if you sign up for 9 years, obviously they'll take you seriously when you go to court.
And
if you're there for a month or two.
No. If you're in, you're in. Full stop. That's why they need your details and everything else. But it's good. I would say join that up rather than pay your taxes. Sign up with Outer.
Yeah,
right, Josh?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
We
thank
should get God. Rid of this government and stop.
Right, Josh, really, I only asked you for a yes, you know? Keep trying to dominate the conversation. You come in, you strong-arm your way into every argument. Honestly, Josh.
Oh.
Please, just try and calm down. All right, back to you, Mavs.
Well, there appears to be a growing call in Australia to have Father's Day renamed.
Oh no. Is it something politically correct? I can't. I really can't.
Yeah, but these are Australians.
Well, it must be gender fluid.
Remember, we were talking about Australia earlier this morning. For it to be renamed to Special Persons Day.
No. I'm done.
Goodbye.
You guys are horrible. This is to ensure kids without a dad don't feel left out or upset by their situation.
Well, how about their dads hung around? Wouldn't that be better?
It'd be much better, Gareth, but you know.
Because your dad doesn't love you. Here, kids, it's Father's Day. Your father isn't around. He doesn't love you. Life is going to be harder for you. You're significantly disadvantaged over everyone else. I'm sorry.
Dr. Red Ruby Scarlett is a university academic.
Yes.
And convener of the Social Justice in Early Childhood Activist Group.
Oh, I'll bet he is. Why doesn't he adopt all these kids who don't have dads?
And firstly, I don't know if I can take someone with the name Red Ruby Scarlett seriously.
Yeah.
Who
are you?
So she believes that this move would help a lot of children. She explained that if we shift the language around special days like Father's Day, it will help instill a better sense of belonging.
No, it won't. No one's paying maintenance, honey.
Dr. Scarlett doesn't touch on whether Mother's Day should also be changed to the same title, considering that there are kids in Australia and the world who grew up without a mom as well.
And then what if you do want a day to celebrate your father or your mother?
Well,
you're on your own, you with your healthy nuclear family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How dare you?
Like, stop showing off with your parents.
Yeah, how dare you? You make everyone else feel shitty. See ya, you unkind bastard. Now listen, I read a serious article the other day. It was written by someone who thought they were being serious.
I love this music, by the way.
Yeah, it's the saddest music, right? Okay.
No,
the story is that apparently, according to this article, kids who grow up in a loving home with parents who made them because they wanted them instead of by mistake.
Sorry, say that again.
Kids who grow up in a loving home whose parents actually wanted them instead of made them by mistake have a significant and unfair advantage over other kids. What do we say to that?
I'm going to say that there are a lot of us who probably ended up here by accident, if I have to be honest.
All right, Josh, what do you think?
Definitely.
All right, thank you. That's perfect. That's good. That's what I was hoping you would say. Ideal. Great comment from Josh. Our morning is much improved.
Yes.
You're ready. It's a great pleasure to have you here, Josh.
Wait, Mabali, you think there are a lot of us who are here by mistake? I know for certain I'm not a mistake.
See, do you know what I mean by mistake? It's a case of like 3 months into 3 months down the line, your mom discovered that she was pregnant, and she was like, "Oh, fuck. Oh well, I guess we're keeping it." That's what I mean.
I watched this.
Like, not all of us were planned.
Yeah.
Because you know, people are having unprotected sex all the time, and then they get pregnant, and then they decide.
They decide to
keep you.
Your chances of being unwanted. Your chances of that your parents had you without really planning you increase the younger you are in the family. Like the youngest sibling is probably the one they wanted the least.
One with the most gap.
That means Ben and Sia.
Oh.
No, my parents told me they were never going to stop until they had a son, so.
My parents didn't tell me anything. They were
Your parents
like,
know you?
Just left them out in the wilderness.
Well, there wasn't any like, well, you were, you weren't. I mean, there was just no talk of it.
Shame.
Just get on with it.
Shame. Yeah, Ben came along and they were like, oh, no, we'll have to bond the house again.
Oh.
Can't we let the animals raise him? That was when Ben, the Mowgli of the Cape, grew up. All on his own out in the wilderness. Make you feel homesick, Ben?
Yeah.
All right, very nice. Okay, let's get back to the news.
Yeah, well, so...
What have you got?
Hey... So this story has been all over the news over the past couple of weeks, and we finally see some sort of conclusion of it. The two South African farmers who
The Coffin case?
Yeah, but have officially been found guilty in the Coffin assault case.
Mm-hmm.
So this all took place on Friday, where a South African judge in Middelburg found the two white farmers guilty of attempted murder after they filmed themselves forcing victim Lojwa into a coffin and threatening to burn him alive.
Shame.
So, yeah.
Shame.
Man, oh man, Shame. Oh man.
Yeah, what disgusting people these are.
Shame.
Judge, who does that to another human being?
I don't know.
What kind of sick joy do you get out of it? That's bullying to the power of 10.
Judge attempted murder, that's a heavy crime, eh?
Well, Judge Mbatlela also found Willem Oosthuizen and Theo Jackson guilty of kidnap, intimidation, and assault with intent to do grievous bodily harm.
Mm.
So, yeah, this all came to light when two clips of footage taken on their mobile phones showed the two shoving Lojwa down into the wooden coffin and pressing the lid closed with their boots as he begged for his life.
But is that attempted murder? I mean, did they want to kill him? I mean, this judge obviously knows what he's doing.
Well, they also, remember, threatened to burn him alive.
Oh, right.
So that's where I think the attempted murder comes in. But yeah.
What do you say, Josh, with your background in criminal law?
Well, it's not criminal law. It's counterterrorism, political science. But
as I said, counterterrorism and political science. What do you think of this?
I think it's shocking that it's... happened. And
right, thank you very much again, Josh, for your contribution. I'm back to see her now.
And Malia Obama. How the times go.
Malia Obama. How old is she now?
She is now...
She's of legal age.
Yeah, and she's just moved into university.
Uh-oh.
Don't we all feel like times are moving way too fast? But, so she just...
I wonder if there's extra... There must be extra pressure, right? Because she's the daughter of a president and...
Totally.
Everybody's going to be watching her. I mean, it's just like, it's like being a member of the royal family. You've got to, yeah, I'm going to go to university with everyone else. No, not really. You've got a secret service detail on you the whole time.
Yeah. And she's now just learning at Harvard University, and casually, you know, as any other normal student, had her parents help her move into the dorm. What do you do when you're living across or rooming across Malia Obama, and do you see Mr. and Mrs. Obama? It's like, what?
Very quickly make friends like, with her, like ASAP.
But the reason guys are trying to bang her because she's the president's daughter.
Absolutely.
What?
Definitely.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize.
They're all probably placing bets to see which one is going to get to her first.
But it's only been 2.3 seconds of her being at Harvard, and she's already under some sort of scrutiny because she snapped at a woman who came up to her and was taking pictures. And she said, in quotes, are you really going to take pictures of me like an animal in a cage?
Wait, hold on. Let me say something to you.
So Malia's actually standing up for herself.
Good for her. Like, I wouldn't tolerate that if I was her.
Anybody got time for this?
She's there to study. God damn it. Leave her alone.
Mm. One of the most famous universities in the world.
Hey, Amanda, have you brought your Britney Spears CD to give to Simpiwe? She won it fair and square. You've got to hand it over because you bet on Conor McGregor and you were wrong.
So wrong.
Yeah.
I even messaged Dory yesterday and I was like, I'm sitting listening to the CD. I chose the shittiest Britney CD, though.
Which one?
I think it's My Prerogative.
Oh, okay.
So, even on the way here this morning, I listened to it, but I don't think Simpiwe will want it.
These days, owning a CD is so stupid anyway. I mean, you can download the stuff for free.
Yeah, but it's like a scalp, you know. She's won something from you that's meant something to you.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's Simpiwe.
It's always there to remind you.
Including Balias, who's now giving away her fidget spinner.
Oi,
I have to give away my hot dog phone cover.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
This is a lot.
Why did you all want to give these things away? Guys, again, would you listen to my sport? He wasn't going to win. He was... Oh, forget it.
Well, no, I actually was rooting for Mayweather in this. I just got the rounds wrong. I literally was one round off, so...
Okay, all right.
So who wins all of this stuff? Simpiwe? She takes the whole treasure trove?
Everything.
Wow.
How ridiculous.
Josh, did you watch the big fight?
I didn't, because I didn't watch it, but it was obvious that Mayweather would win because...
It was what?
It was
obvious that Mayweather would win?
Yes.
Okay, how do you know that?
Because putting an MMA fighter against the top boxer in the world while boxing is...
Right. Stupid.
Yeah.
Oh.
You knew.
You knew. Right on. Okay. All right, well, I mean, I didn't watch the match, and I'm not one of those people who's proud that I didn't. I just value my sleep. And for a lot of people who did watch it, it was the biggest event of the year. I don't know how you could, after being messed around like that, I don't know if that's... Because it was a long thing. It was an early thing to wake up for, and apparently very unsatisfying.
Well, McGregor had to do something big. He just tried to box.
Okay.
And that was the problem.
So I actually was surprised to find out that they actually screened the fight at cinemas in America.
Yeah.
And it made, what was it? It made $2.6 million. Hmm. So people actually paid to go and watch this at a cinema.
So yeah, this is why Mayweather and these big promotions are so smart, because if everyone's talking about something, you don't want to be the one doers who's not talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they know this FOMO culture you can capitalize on.
Right.
Even though this wasn't going to be a great boxing match per se, it was going to be a big event.
Ben, do you think this whole entire thing was planned? Like, McGregor and Mayweather's camp came together ages ago and just said, listen, it's a money-making scheme, let's do it.
I think it was a nice idea, and you brought together two personalities that make a good story. I don't think anyone else that can do this, so of course it was planned.
Because right afterwards, they were now like, oh, I respect you so much, it was a great fight. I'm like, hold up, but you guys 2 seconds ago were supposedly hating
each
other.
They're playing you.
Exactly. That's why I'm thinking it's just a whole money-making
thing.
People
are so dumb. They get caught up in this stuff. They didn't realize that Connor and Floyd's people are getting together And for months ahead of the time, they've scripted the whole thing. It's all worked out to drive all these dumb people in the world who have nothing entertaining going on in their lives.
They wake up at 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's to drive you crazy so that you can't avoid this.
It is no different to Game of Thrones.
How dare you. And Ben, I'm warning you again, no spoilers, please.
No spoilers, but it's TV ultimately, that's all it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, imagine if you can actually go and watch Game of Thrones live, how much more people would lose their shit. That's exactly what this Conor McGregor fight was.
Well, it's like when people used to say to me, so what happened to the winner of Idols in 2009? Nobody cares, it was a TV show. Nobody cares, I don't even know who the winner was in 2009. Nobody does.
Who was the winner in 2014?
Don't know. It's about ratings. Ratings, ratings, ratings. And they're playing you.
Guys, we just consume. That's what us humans do. We just gobble and consume and whatever.
Yep.
Right.
That's all we do. And this is just another fat morsel of consumption of the weekend. But let's be okay with that.
How much money have they made between the two of them? Floyd and...
Everything that they wanted to.
Well, Mayweather is officially in the league of Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan by earning more than $1 billion as a sportsman. So
there we go. That's what the real... There's the real payday.
Yeah.
Something silly.
And the after party was at his strip club, so...
Oh, that's nice.
It's very classy.
A strip club?
Yes, in Vegas.
Okay. Yeah, it's like his second home, isn't it?
Yeah, he's also got two daughters.
I wonder if they'll take over the family business. Get on the pole. All right. So Game of Thrones, the big finale. It happened in the US this morning. So if you're one of those people who really likes to wake up like you're a serious fanboy or fangirl and you woke up for Conor McGregor, you'll probably wake up for this one. However, a lot of us will only watch it tonight. No spoilers. Ben watched it early this morning.
And then I went straight onto Twitter.
How long was it? An hour and a half?
It's about an hour and 20 minutes, Gareth.
Wow.
And then I went onto Twitter and people just throw it out there, huh?
Yeah.
So if you wake up at like...
Don't go onto social media.
Half past four in the morning and you'll just see things written about people and stuff.
Yeah, it's already trending.
My goodness.
Someone wants to make a porno version and they want Mabali in it.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
Who's she going to play?
They want her to be the Laelisi.
Laelisi.
As in the Khaleesi, but like the one who...
Who lays it down.
Right.
Yeah.
And apparently a lot of people are having trouble with our app this morning. I'll try to see what that's all about.
Would there be the white porkers after that?
Yes, the white porkers. That's right. Very good. The Laelisi. Here we go.
Well, Dickon can keep his name.
I'm producing a new... I'm producing a new TV show called The Game of Thongs. Mabali, will you star please in the show?
Game of Thrusts?
Gosh.
Game of Thongs.
There. Yeah, let's develop it and see where it goes, and then I'll decide.
All right. Ben, of course, is the major script writer.
He is. He's got experience in the porn industry.
Yeah. Is that Cock Josh in the studio? No. That's a different Josh. This is Josh Todis. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. God damn it. So, Josh, what kind of a life do you have in Israel? Tell me a little bit about that. What do you get up to there?
Well, at the moment, I call it fun employed.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
I'm just finishing studying my last few essays for my... degree.
Why do you say at the moment? Why do you put a the instead of a the? At the moment, you're emphasizing the moment. Is that just a
just unconscious?
It's a Josh thing.
Yes.
Okay, I got you. All right. So fun employed means that you're kind of messing around.
Yes.
Who's paying for this?
My parents.
Those poor people. Is that why you visit them?
Yes.
To reimburse the Josh Todis fund.
Yes.
Good man. All right, so they sent you to Israel. What are you doing there? Are you on holiday, kind of? Are you making connections? Are you networking?
A bit of networking. I've moved there officially, so I've got citizenship there.
All right.
But I'm finishing the last few papers of my degree.
Yes.
And then I'm here till... I'm just on a long holiday now, and when I get back,
it sounds like your life's a holiday. Teach me how to do this. Don't look for a job. Teach me how to not have a job and get someone else to pay for my life. That sounds like a good way to live. I like that. You met any attractive women over there? Israel's full of beautiful girls, right? Yeah. Are they keen?
Yes.
Yeah? You got some action there?
Not currently, but...
All right. Where's the best place to go, Elat?
Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv, huh? Really? Beautiful. Do you see any of those girls?
All the army girls.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to.
Oh.
Israel. So it's a conscription for the girls and the boys. And the girls,
from what age? Like 18?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, straight after school. And then the girls are these super hot, like all kitted out in the military uniforms.
Yeah, now to help someone with the fantasy, what do they wear? Like berets? Like
olive green uniforms.
Hey now.
Yeah, sexy times. It's like Wonder Woman. She's from Israel, right?
Yes.
Gal Gadot. Jesus, that Wonder Woman. I finally saw the movie.
Uh-huh. Was it worth it? Didn't live up to everything?
A friend of mine was telling me over the weekend, the two places that you go to, if you're a man and you are not married and you're thinking of getting married, don't get married to a South African girl. Sorry, Mubs. Don't waste your time.
What?
Go to Lebanon, apparently fantastic quality women there on Tinder. He brought screenshots back and showed me.
Mm-hmm.
Just gorgeous-looking women in Lebanon.
Aren't they hairy?
How dare you?
I'm just asking a very serious question. Aren't they hairy? They might be tanned and amazing.
They're not hairy. They're fantastic. You're thinking of the Kardashians. And then the other place is Montenegro in the Balkans. Apparently very, very attractive women. So there we go. Two places, guys. If you're one of those men who thinks, I've exhausted all my options in South Africa. Go over there. Try that out. You'll thank me. And tell me if you do. Tell us if you get hooked up there.
Wait, and what's the justification as to why you shouldn't get with a South African girl?
Well, no, I'm not saying you shouldn't. But if you run out of options.
Just the best.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's the same with women. Like, you know, women keep saying that, you know, if you're looking for this, don't date a South African man. Uh-huh. We feel the exact same way about each other.
That's fine then. So we're all equal.
Yeah.
Okay, where do you rank, like, the best men then?
Mubs has always said Brazil. Am I right? Are you being consistent here?
Sorry, I just...
You changed your mind?
The only man that I will have children with is Common.
And that's it. But he's American.
Yeah, but...
So is Donald Trump.
That's my man.
That's nothing to go on.
That's my man.
Right.
I think you need to go to, like, the Congo or Senegal. See what I mean? And they speak French. Sorry.
Ben's going to go and check out Southeast Asia. What's this place called that you're going to again?
It's the Club Med Bintan Island.
So Bintan.
I'm heading there. So I fly to Singapore today, and then I catch a boat for an hour.
Amanda just heard Bint in there, and she thought, that's like in the East Rand.
Sounds like her.
That's the cool girls on the East Rand, right? Bints.
You want some Bints.
Well, I don't think there's going to be any Bints, because Bintan Island is in Indonesia, and it's a small island, like 200,000 people. But the resort is, obviously, it's got everything. It's like its own world.
Well, we're talking about all these beautiful women all over the world. We've got one of them joining us in a short while. Her name is Jade Hubner. She is on television here in South Africa. She's a very, very attractive woman. We've spoken to her before. She's been on a number of shows here on Cliff Central. But we're going to spend a bit of time talking to her later on. And Josh will probably join in that interview, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Josh is taking over from me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, for the whole week? Is that why you're here?
Oh.
I didn't know about this.
This is a revelation.
Surprise!
You know what, Ben? I've got to be honest with you. Too much Josh is never a good thing. All right. Let's get back to one or two news stories. Then we've got Rich Mulholland on the line with the reality check for a Monday morning. Mubs, what else have you got for us?
Well, the Gauteng Education MEC department, Banyaza Lusifi, last week kind of suggested that kids entering into high school need to be drug tested.
Uh-oh.
Which now a lot of
schools will be empty.
Which now a lot of experts are warning, drug testing in schools could stigmatize those who are caught, or you know, it could lead them to dropping out of school because they're trying to avoid punishment. Da 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 da.
How about the drugs?
This is in response to growing violence, apparently, in our schools. Use of drugs has gone up, and of course, alcohol abuse is a major. I mean, it's just a major factor in this country anyway. But children are, you know, beating each other up. There's this awful trend now of videos going viral of children in schools behaving badly. They beat each other up. They threaten their teachers. And so Banyaza Lusifi...
Sounds like the East Rand.
Banyaza Lusifi has suggested, well, why don't we test all these little motherfuckers then? And, experts are saying, well, we don't know if that's necessarily the best route.
What would you do if you were in charge of the education department, Mavs? You'd be very... I think you would be quite strict. You would test them. Hmm?
Yeah.
Because where do you even...
I'm just imagining, you know how in... Or do we have schools in parts of our country that where you have scanners, where kids are scanned? Do we have
for weapons?
Do we have that system in this country?
I don't know. They have it in America.
Yeah.
I don't think we could afford scanners at every school.
No.
Plus, there's too many entrances. We can't even get books.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't exactly. We can't even get textbooks.
But I know drug tests, like in high school.
You had drug tests?
If yeah, there were some routine
really?
Drug tests, but that's like for some. Sports, some of the sports guys and some dudes who doubled in marijuana.
Amanda, you had drug tests as well?
Yeah.
We did, but I didn't have to go.
Why?
Because I was good in school.
Oh, yeah, not everyone.
They only pull out the bad kids?
Yeah. They literally used to just be like, you look...
suspicious.
Like, literally, the cops came into our class one day and I was
the
like...
Cops?
I get all... Like, I'm very scared around cops. So I was just chilling and then, like, they brought their dog and the dog was standing close to me. So the cop's like, you look naughty. Oh, I could have died.
Oh,
but
my God.
No, I didn't do anything.
So now
you
I can
look naughty.
Name and shame my friend because we're way past this phase. But yeah. He is a regular weed smoker.
Yeah.
He started smoking weed in high school as well.
Right.
But and it was like known around town that like, yo, dude is like blazing up all the time. So like the guys at school got wind about this, like the teachers. And so they're like, yo, we have to get this guy down.
Uh-huh.
We need to test him. And he found out. So he had to go straight home. He ran home and now had to like get this out of his system. So
yes.
There he was like sitting on Google, finding out like, how do you get weed out of your system? He started running around, started
yes.
drinking tons of water to flush it out. It's a major thing.
Really? Because
now school has the power.
Did they catch him?
Yeah, no.
Okay, well then
so,
it worked.
Lucky for him, but they did find weed in his bag, so it was not a smart thing at all. And then he just claimed that someone... he claimed
we never
someone
had drug tests. I suppose
no,
it was,
we
it,
didn't
it wasn't
drug
a big
tests.
Time for drugs
really?
When I was at school, no.
But like, teachers were, for example, allowed to look through your bags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, our teachers never happened for me.
Not either. In my school.
Our teachers would. Always the bad kids, though.
Yeah.
Were they just hungry, or was it actually... Yeah. You get with those podgy teachers going, oh, we got it here.
Let me see your lunchbox.
I would reckon at my school, the teachers were too scared to go through people's bags.
Well, it was the East Rat.
Of what we'd find. Yeah, what they found.
Yeah, that's
true. Pull out a knife, and the guy's got one in his back pocket as well. It's very rough out there.
Backup situation.
Yeah, it's scary out there. Man. Hey, Josh, were you at a dangerous school?
No.
No?
But we did have drug tests, but randomly selected...
Uh-huh.
Called over the intercom.
Oh my, that's embarrassing.
Call you by name?
Will.
Jacob, Josh, Dodds, please come to the office. We're going to test you for drugs.
That is. Oh.
Is that what they would do
yes.
that? Really? And then if you came back, they'd know you were clean. And if you didn't, then they'd know that you
yes.
were a druggie.
Yes.
I'd feel kind of badass, though.
You're.
Like.
You'd almost want to, like, wait and. You know, the lobby for long, just so
yeah.
that your class goes, oh my God, he hasn't come
What's
back.
Happening?
Yeah.
What's he on?
So this is exactly what the experts are warning against
mm-hmm.
with the suggestion. They're saying, yeah, but now you're going to be stigmatizing these kids. Don't do it.
You ever get bust for drugs, Josh?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Are you sure?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. We're just all. Checking with you. All right. So then don't do drugs, kids. Drugs and bad. Okay. All right.
You ever needed further proof, this
now,
is it.
I don't know, like, if this is going to solve the problem. I mean, if there are people taking drugs, that's a social thing. That's a social problem. It's not a school thing. In other words, the school finding out about it is not going to solve the problem. And by no means am I saying you shouldn't do these tests. I actually think it would be a good idea. And maybe these kids who are on the serious stuff...
Mm.
Shouldn't be allowed back at school. Because
well,
I do think they'll get in the way of the kids who do want to learn.
Huh? They need help.
And then what do you do with all of them then that don't finish school?
You shoot them.
Oh. Sorry, and you said I was the strict one.
Isn't that
simple,
what do you meant to do with them?
Response.
Josh, what do you suggest we do with them? Shoot them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get rid of... There are too many people in the world. Get rid of some.
Should we just drop them into the sea from helicopters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Put them on an island.
All right. There we go. Josh full of solutions this morning. See, I give him my little finger. He takes my whole hand.
Hey, solution driven. Let's put it that way.
All right.
Way.
Is Rich on the line?
Yeah.
Let's get to Mr. Mulholland and see what he has to say this morning. It's Monday, which means we need something to inspire us and to lift us up, or just to get a fire lit under our backsides. And there's no one who does that quite as well as our own Rich Mulholland. Let's talk to him now. And he's on the Skype line. He's from Cape Town this morning. Good morning to you. How are you, Rich?
Hello there. Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent, man. Very, very good. You can hear us?
So, Mubs.
Yes.
I can hear you, good. I'm sorry to do this, but Jasmine did say to me, she just messaged me and said, please tell Mubs that Scotland is the best place to go find a rugged man. They still make real men there.
Oh.
That's not from me. That's from my wife.
All right.
Oh, nice.
Got it.
She messaged me from the school run to tell you specifically.
They still make them tough and
then the
rugged.
Other thing is, you know, parents have told me, well, not all of them, but some of them.
Okay.
Yeah, my parents always tell me that I'm a mistake. So now I'm thinking, shit, I could have been something so cool if I wasn't a mistake and my parents loved me. You know, I could have been amazing. Anyway, there you go.
All right, now what is on your mind this
here's
morning?
Here's the thing. All right, so years back I read a book by a guy called Howard Mann. He went on to be did some speaking tours together. He's a New York-based guy. He wrote a book called Your Business Brickyard. It's a really great book. I always recommend it to entrepreneurs. I think it was Tom Peters who said, it's not the book that entrepreneurs should read, it's the book they should carry every day. Anyway, the upside is that we've become friends over the years, and we're writing a book together. And so before I tell you about the book, let me tell you what happened the last few days. So winter has been coming, and with winter comes cake and deliciousness and pizza and curry and all those good things. So what happens is, it gets to a point where I realize I have got to get back into shape. I've got to start eating well. But then I reach this weird, crazy catch-22 in that I'm too embarrassed to go back to gym. Now, it's the craziest thing ever. I'm actually too embarrassed to go back to gym. I train at that. Everyone is beautiful and perfect. And I was actually didn't want to go back to gym to get back into shape because I wasn't in shape.
Right.
And the reason I'm telling you this is it kind of leads to what the book Howard and I are writing is about. And the book is called Just Fuck Your Pride, because we're forever actually not doing something because we're so proud in the short term about something we want to achieve. And the kind of thought I want everybody to have this week is that you've got to trade present pride versus future pride. So if you're sitting here today and there's a tough decision you have to make, and it's something you want to retrench some people, or you have to maybe close down a division of your business, or you have to do, I don't know, whatever big deal it is. And you're quite embarrassed with it, or you have to go to the gym and you're a bit of a lardy. I want to say to you that ask yourself what your future self would say if they were looking back 20 years later.
Yeah.
What decision would they be more proud that you made? The decision to keep on slogging on and to show that you're not going to give up and never quit, or the decision to make the hard calls when they were needed to be made? Because I think what we do is we trade short-term pride for future pride all the time. When we look back at bad decisions we've made, it's often because we wanted to be proud today. We were too proud today to make the tough choices, which meant that we had no pride later. And what I've started trying to do is measure my decisions based on what will future me be proud of? What decision will future me be proud of? So one example of this is last week, Monday, in front of my staff, I stepped down as the company I've run for 20 years. And it was quite funny because when I told my senior leadership, nobody was upset. They were like, yeah, cool, good call. Oh, I want to cry. But,
all right.
You know, you want to say, no, don't go. It's a terrible decision. And I'm like, yeah, sweet, cool, right. Good times. When you're off. And the truth was, I'd run the business for so long, and I liked being in charge. But I actually am not good at being in charge. Like, I'm not good at running a company. That's not where my skills and my passion lies. You know, I like other things. My neutral, incidentally, is C-3PO. I'm the Chief Purpose, Projects, and Pitching Officer. Like, I want to work on the cool stuff. So I still own the business, but I'm not too proud to step down and let Don run it, because he'll be a far better guy. And if I ask myself in the future, what decision would have been better? Hanging on to the reins of control would certainly not be a decision I'm proud of. So for the next 5 days, fight your pride. For the next 5 days, I want people to make tough decisions that they need to, and then tell that your future self thanks you in advance.
That's very good. Unfortunately, your line is not so good. It went really nice for a little while, and then it deteriorated again, so it almost sounded like you were going into the past. But I like this. So you make every decision not based on what your immediate and circumstantial problems or context is, but you think about it in terms of what your future self would be proud of. That's not always an easy thing to do, though.
No, for sure. I don't think it is. But I think when I've started trying a new mechanism myself, my future self would never be happy if I hung on to running the business, what I feel is ineffectively, for another 10 years. My future self will be proud that I was able to step down, and even if it didn't work, my future self will be proud that I was able to do the right thing and not let my present pride get in the way.
Let's hope we can all make those kinds of decisions, because for some people it's very, very hard to let go of anything and make any decisions based on the future. Everybody's trying to live so much in the moment now, and we're dealing with our day-to-day stuff on the basis that we think we're getting through it. We're swimming and we're keeping our heads above water instead of actually looking for the finish line and making decisions based on what will happen next, not what will happen now.
Right.
All right, Rich, I'm sorry the line's not so great this morning, but there we go. There's a little wake-up call for you. Your Monday morning reality check with Rich. Rich Mulholland. You can catch him every Monday morning right here on cliffcentral.com. Okay, when we come back, we're going to meet Jade Hubner. She has a new single out. There's music to talk about. There's her life. There's TV. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. It's all happening. What's up, Ben?
I was saying the unnews.
Yes, we do, Ben. I've got, thank you for the reminder. That's okay. Very responsible of you.
Just me reminding.
It's actually Josh who reminded Ben. You reminded Ben, and he reminded me. That's exactly. The chain of command, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, there we go. Thank God you're here, Josh. I don't know what we'd do without you. All right, everybody ready for the unnews this morning?
Yeah, bro.
Let's get straight into it. Here are the stories that you need to know about in case you're not paying attention. All right? SAA are dumping planes and dumping routes, but they're not dumping Dudumieni in an attempt to stay in business. By taking away revenue streams in order to try and stay in business, finance enthusiast Malusi Gigaba feels he has done a good thing. So he celebrated by buying a new suit. Game of Thrones Season 7 has come to an end. Spoiler alert, the ANC takes over in Westeros, plunging the Seven Kingdoms into recession and general chaos. The Guptas then secure the tender for the wall and allow the Army of the Dead through for a handy sum of money, selling everyone into slavery and sealing their doom. And finally, the Global T20 League had their player auction over the weekend. A variety of has-beens and not-yet-beens were traded, with the fans mostly not giving a shit. Some of the players were immediately given patched leather jackets after being signed to their teams, something that doesn't bode well for the tournament. And we'll be back with Jade next. Stick around, cliffcentral.com, on a Monday morning. See his favorite day of the week. All right?
Any day that ends with Y is my favorite, so it's fine.
That's fantastic. All right. Ben, are you off?
Yes, I'm going to go.
Well, let's say goodbye.
There's not enough space for me and
Let's say goodbye to Ben for this morning, and have a good trip, Ben, and we'll see you when you get back.
Well, I'll try Skype with you when I get the chance.
It's not going to be that long. Say good. All right, thanks. You very much, Ben.
Why do you always make it so easy?
All right, Ben, have a good trip. Josh, you stick around. We need you.
All right? Yes, okay.
This is CliffCentral.com.